In his book, The Great Divorce, the author C.S. Lewis describes two very different worlds. One world is a place where there's not a lot of color. The streets are empty. There's little joy. There's only half light. It's neither day nor night. The other world is one of great amazement. It is bathed in light. There are intense colors. It is the most beautiful place anyone has seen. Now, there is a bus that connects these two worlds, and anyone can travel from that bleak, shadowy world by the bus to the beautiful world. And travelers can even travel there and decide they're going to stay in that bright, beautiful world. But typically, when the bus travelers disembark in that bright world, they become concerned. They realize they are like ghosts in that world. They're not solid. They are not as vibrant, as fully alive as the inhabitants of that beautiful world. And in fact, that beautiful world is dangerous to them. The things of that world, to the ghostly visitors, can cause them pain. Blades of grass hurt their feet. A single leaf is too heavy for them to lift. These things are actually more solid than those ghostly people are. Men and women whom the travelers have known in this earth come to meet them as they get off the bus. And they realize these people are beautiful and shining. They're not ghostly. The world doesn't cause them pain. They, in fact, are as solid and as beautiful as that whole world is. These shining people, these brilliant people, offer to escort those who are getting off the bus, to help them make a journey through the foothills, to the mountains, toward the sunrise. But most refuse this offer. They are too afraid of that journey. They're worried it'll be too painful. The shining companions assure them that the longer they're there, the brighter they'll become, the more solid they will be, that they will become adjusted to that bright world. Over time, they will become more solid and less feel the pain. They'll be transformed. But sadly, most of those visitors cannot let go of their fear and anxiety to accept the offer of that journey. Most of the ghostly people just can't let go of the hurts, the disappointments, the fears, the anxiety. They're stuck in the past. They're unable to move into a new future. They reject this offer of a new life. They just cannot do what is asked of them in order to become a full resident of this new, more real, more solid, more beautiful world. And so almost all those travelers return on that bus to their empty gray world. They continue living in the shadows, living in the past, fearful of a future that is more real, more beautiful than anything they have ever seen. It turns out that this vision of these two worlds is a dream the narrator has, and it's a dream in which that shadowy world is hell, and the vibrant, solid world is heaven. Hell is small and dreary. Heaven is immense and solid and vibrant. And one can travel to heaven if one accepts a journey of repentance, of turning to new ways. Doing so allows a person to become more real and to shine with the radiance of God. Lewis observes it can be very difficult, maybe sometimes impossible, to leave behind the familiar, to accept even a wonderful gift, even a gift that may be full of the promise of a better life. In our gospel today, I see some of these themes. I see this challenge facing those first followers of Jesus that Easter morning. Mary Magdalene, the one that the gospels tell us, was healed of 7 demons by Jesus. Doesn't say anywhere that she was a prostitute, by the way. But she was healed by Jesus. She becomes a disciple of Jesus. She is one of those faithful women who are with Jesus throughout his earthly life and ministry, who are with him at the cross, and who are at the tomb. Early on the day, that first day of the week, while it's dark, Mary goes to the tomb to finish the preparations for Jesus' burial. They were interrupted by the start of the Sabbath. Arriving at the tomb, she's expecting there'll be the big stone, it'll be sealed, it'll be just as she left it. But that's not so. The stone is rolled away, the body of Jesus is missing. Mary wonders who has stolen his body. She doesn't even think about Jesus being raised from the dead. She is expecting what she knew the last time she was there. Mary Magdalene then goes on to tell Peter and the beloved disciple, John, what has happened. They look and they see the same thing. Jesus isn't there. Burial cloths are strewn there. Peter and the other disciple do not understand. And so they return home, leaving Mary weeping at the tomb. But then Mary looks inside, and this time there are 2 angels. Angels in white, where the body of Jesus was. And they want to know why she is weeping. And then Mary turns, and she sees Jesus, but does not recognize him. And Jesus also says, "Why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" And Mary asks, "Where is the body of Jesus?" She wants to retrieve it. And then Jesus calls her by name. And she recognizes him and calls him teacher. And then Mary goes from that experience to tell the others that she has seen the risen Lord, just as Jesus told her to do. Now, this account of Easter morning, which comes from John's Gospel, may have a few surprises for us. Maybe it's not exactly what you thought you'd hear this morning. There are certainly angels in white. The risen Jesus does appear to Mary Magdalene, but there's also an awful lot of confusion. There's a lot of worry. There is weeping. We don't have blasts of trumpets, hosts of angels announcing the resurrection. But I think in this account, there's something important for us. It tells us how the resurrection of Jesus may be larger and harder to comprehend than we might first think. It's also significant. Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb when it is still dark. Now, that could just be a description of time, but in John's Gospel, that is an important detail. John has this theme throughout his Gospel of those who walk by darkness at night and those who walk in the light of Christ. So Mary is in the dark both because she is weeping, she is mourning, she's despairing over the death of her Lord, but she also does not yet understand what has happened. She's not yet walking in the glare of that Easter light. She's too worried about what's happened to Jesus. Who's taken him? Where is he? The next account in John's Gospel is the male disciples are doing the same thing. They're behind locked doors in a room. They're afraid. They don't understand. They worry they're going to be killed next. Somehow the news and the joy of resurrection, of understanding what it means that Jesus is raised from the dead, does not come immediately. But over time, through the power of the Holy Spirit, those same people come to understand. They leave the tomb. They leave behind the locked room, and they go out into the world to live resurrection life. We hear that in our lesson this morning from the book of Acts. Peter, big difference from Peter in John's gospel. Now Peter is preaching Jesus crucified and risen. And Peter goes on preaching and teaching and healing for the rest of his life, even giving his life as a martyr for the risen Jesus, as the ultimate witness to the resurrection. The promise and the reality of Jesus being raised from the dead takes time to sink in. In fact, I don't think it can happen fully in this lifetime. I think it probably only happens when we journey into the fullness of eternity, when we see God face to face. But nonetheless, in this mystery, there is a promise for us. A promise in this mystery of God, of the God who loves us so much, who desires so profoundly to be in relationship with us, as to come right where we are. The Creator of all that is accepts being a creature within the limitations of the creation, to show us the depths of God's love, to lead us by example into relationship with God. But humanity responds to that loving initiative by putting Jesus to death on the cross, returning God's unconditional love for the worst that humanity can offer: hatred, violence, murder. Yet God in Jesus continues to love us, continues to seek us out, going exactly where we are. And so the promise of this Easter morning is the experience of Mary Magdalene, that when we are in the depth of deepest night, when we are sorrowing and crying, even when we are despairing, when we know grief and mourning, when we are stuck in the past, unable to break free, Jesus comes right where we are. Jesus enters into the fullness of human existence right where we are in that moment. And then Jesus calls us by name and invites us into a world that is more real, that is more beautiful, that is more solid than anything we can ever hope for or imagine. Certainly than anything this world will ever offer. All of it requires that we respond to Jesus' invitation to go, to set out with him, trusting that he knows the way and that he will lead us and give us all we need to make the journey. The journey does require much of us. It requires letting go of the past. It requires turning to God. It means letting go of the ways of this world with the call for greed and power and violence. It means forgiving our enemies, praying for those who hate us, loving and serving the least, working to undo injustice in this world. And in all these things, Jesus leads and guides us. Jesus stands beside us, moving us towards that sunrise, supporting us whenever the journey is painful or we think we can't go on. Joy is found this Easter morning in the promise that Jesus is with us always in all things we experience. Through the waters of baptism, we share in the death and the resurrection of Jesus, and nothing in this life can ever separate us from the love of God made known in Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. The love of God is stronger even than the power of the tomb, of the darkness, of death itself. The love of God brings us to victory in Jesus, where we are set free from the past and set free to love as God loves us, abundantly, lavishly, without counting the cost. As Mary Magdalene, the very first witness of the resurrected Jesus, did so long ago, let us do this day. Let us go and tell others that our weeping is turned to joy, our sadness to rejoicing. The darkness of night has been turned into the brightest morn. For Christ is risen from the dead, and we are set free to become the beautiful, most real, most solid, most brilliant people that we can be. People rooted in the brilliance of eternity. Thanks be to God for the victory won for us by the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Amen.